Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Where do we want to start?
Well, we just started.
Oh.
What is going on in this town right now? A couple of months ago, we were like, okay, this Panther team, the Dolphins offense is good. The Heat are always kind of in it. But the Marlins and Inter-Miami still stink. At least there's right. some balance around here. And now the Marlins are the hottest team in baseball, and we have Messi. Like, yep. genuinely, the UM went to the Final Four. What is going on in this town?
You know, it's been the craziest accumulation of star talent in a short period of time that I can ever remember down here.
And yeah, but what about any city? Give me a time another city had every single team like in a playoff spot at one time. Yes. Like, I know I'm sure it's happened somewhere, but it's got to be rare.
And I'm talking about elite star power. Let me give a list real quick. The Dolphins add Tyreek Hill, who lives up to all expectations in his first season here. The Panthers add Matthew Tkachuk, who, you know, scores 40 goals and leads the team into the Stanley Cup final. The Marlins at the All-Star break have a guy chasing a 400 batting average in Luis Arraez. Lionel Messi, the god of all goats, and now the Heat are after Damian Lillard, a true whale.
And so Jim Larinaga.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know, he doesn't really fit. But like, it's
well,
just
Jim Larinaga, you know, he gets another raise, another contract extension for leading UM into the Final Four.
I'm not really sure if I'm buying the Marlins yet. I know that with Lizardo, and, you know, yeah. Sandy hasn't even been good. Like, I know the rotation is fine.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not sure if I'm sold on this offense yet, if Jorge Soler needs to be your second best hitter.
Yeah.
But I'll take it for now. That's the weird one. Like, I could see, like, Inter-Miami, that was always a messy rumor. Like, that was always kind of a thing. Right. The Marlins being good this year is, we got to get, like, Kirkchen on in the coming weeks or something. Or
yeah, we should.
Jeremy Tache, maybe. But this Marlins team is wild.
Yeah, but I don't know how good they are, and I don't want to be the guy who says yeah, but in the middle of their best first half in memory.
I just did the
memory.
But. Now you're out butting me because
I'm out butting you by mentioning they have a negative run differential. They're the best record team that has been outscored. They're still tied for 22nd, you know, bottom third in run production.
But that
I don't
that,
know how they're doing yeah. this well.
That run differential has been moving in the other direction, though. It was, like, historically bad. Like, 2 months ago, it was, like, minus 67 or something. And now it's, like, close to even. So,
yeah,
you look at this recent stretch, I mean, I don't know how much value that run differential has. But,
yeah,
it's just, I can't believe it.
If you'll allow me one more yeah, but. Sorry, Marlins. One more yeah, but. They're 1-9 against the Atlanta Braves, the team they need to learn to beat.
You know, if we just eliminated, Jeremy Tache tweeted this, if we just eliminated all the games the Braves and Marlins have played, the Marlins would be ahead of the Braves in the standings. This was as of a couple days ago.
Right.
If you just eliminated the games against each other, the Marlins were one game ahead of the Braves, but the Braves were 8 games up on the Marlins because the Marlins are 1-9 against the Braves this year.
No, it's insane. I mean, it's illogical. And not only that, but in those 10 games where they're 1-9, they've been outscored 83-29.
Hey,
like most of the games have been routs.
So that's 10 games they've played. So we probably got 2 more series against the Braves. So we just got to go on. It's going to be hard. Like, we need to go 4-2 the final 6 games against the Braves. Like, there has to be some success.
But
and the Phillies are coming too. The Phillies are hot. Like, that's why, like, even though the Marlins are in a playoff spot right now, they got the Dodgers behind them. They got the Giants behind them. They got the Phillies behind them. Like, this is this stretch that they've been on the last month, they need to like do it again the next couple months, because this is not going to get. And oh my God, have you seen the Marlins schedule in August?
Woo! No,
it is brutal. It's like a West Coast trip: San Diego, Giants, Dodgers. Yeah. So we gotta stack the wins up now, and Sandy needs to get back.
Well, that's just it, and you know, Jazz Chisholm needs to stay healthy. And Sandy needs to.
I don't know. Marlins have been kind of better without Jazz. The Marlins have been a little better without Jazz.
But still, he's a talented guy, and I think you need him out there. But, you know, the idea that they're doing as well as they have when their Cy Young Award winner is having a shitty season is another remarkable thing about this team. Skip Shoemaker has to be the manager of the year at this point. And he's just got to be.
The most remarkable thing the Marlins have done all year so far is getting Greg playing so well that Greg Cody's covering a midseason game.
That's true.
Greg Cody, who usually swoops in for opening day and if you make the playoffs, is actually going to a midseason game. And when this podcast is out, you've already gone to it, but you're going today.
Yeah, so I went to Friday night's game and wrote a column that will actually be in Sunday's print edition of the Herald if you want to read it. So I'd appreciate it if you did.
You haven't gone or written it yet, but let me guess. Here's the column. How about these fish?
That's right. Hey, this is a news-breaking story because I'm just noticing, because I'm actually going to a game.
Yes.
How about these fish?
This is Jorge Soler. He swings hard.
That's right. Who's this new guy almost batting 400? The hell's going on? That's exactly what I'm going to write. Thank you for writing my column.
There you go.
As soon as we're done this podcast recording on a Friday, I'm going to jot down all those notes. But it's weird, by the way, talking sports on the Greg Cody Show, because although technically we're a sports podcast, we really don't talk about sports that much.
And we're in a slow time right now. This is it. Like, we're in the...
It should be a slow time, but it isn't, because not only because of the Marlins, but mostly because of Lionel Messi. I don't want to leave this yet, because the Messi countdown is just now ramping up. The 16th? This coming Friday is the day they're going to roll everybody out. They're going to roll out Messi along with Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba. They're two former teammates of Messi's. Inter Miami suddenly is Barcelona East. The team is transformed into Messi Incorporated, which is great. Because
you said the 16th?
The 16th,
I
think.
That's a Sunday.
That's when they're going to roll out. That's going to be the Inter Miami equivalent of the LeBron James Big Three being unveiled to South Florida. We're gonna get to meet Messi and talk to him, and that's when it all starts. And then his first game is on the 21st. So Messi mania is crazy down here, and it's a global story.
And we have three tickets. So right now, if you want to go to the game with Greg and I, we are accepting the highest bidder. And guess what? The money goes right in our pockets.
That's right. If you think we were going to hold a raffle to give you a free ticket, it ain't happening, because we think we can get more than $1,000 for a Messi ticket right now.
I'm going to bleep out what you just said, because you're selling us short. Because not only do you get to see Messi's first game, you get to see it with us. So this price could go way higher than you just said.
It could go way higher. You're right.
If you're interested in paying way too much money to watch the first Messi game right next to my dad and myself, tweet me.
Okay.
DM me privately a crazy amount. I take Zelle and Venmo.
You know what? We're sort of half kidding here, but it is an absolute matter of fact.
We have a ticket for sale.
No. It's an absolute matter of fact that if you own Inter Miami season tickets right now, the value of them went up exponentially in the past month. I mean, they went from being, hey, anybody want a free ticket, to, no, I gotta ask for at least $3,000 for this single ticket to a single game.
I couldn't give away tickets to these. Like, we were missing a few games a few weeks back before the Messi stuff.
Right.
Like, in around the studio. Like, I couldn't give the tickets away.
No. Right. They're like Marlins tickets. You know, they're as good as the team is doing. They're still drawing $12,000 a game. And you sometimes can't give away a Marlins ticket. But now people are banging on the door of season ticket holders to get tickets to see Messi, not to see Inter Miami, to see Messi. I mean, this is Messi's team now. I'm not prepared to say it's his town yet, but it is absolutely Messi's team, and it's electrifying down here. I can't even describe it.
It's not great. That electrifying. Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird to it, like the I, like until Messi's actually playing a game. Like, I get it. It's cool that he's here, but it's not like, you know, you drive down Fort Lauderdale and you just see Messi signs everywhere. Like, I wouldn't say. I think you're lying. I don't think it's electric yet. Like, maybe it will be the first game. And if like the team's in last place right now, like I just you're just being hyperbolic.
The team's record matters zero. The fact that they have Lionel Messi is all that matters. And when I say it's electrifying down here, I'm talking about the anticipation. I'm talking about the ticket demand.
But you're making it seem like when I walk into Lester's Diner on a Sunday morning, like the lady's like, so we got Messi. Like, no, like the people like, so, like, I just, I don't know. I'm pushing back. It's not that electric
you're,
yet.
You're Mr. Wet Blanket, professional wet blanket, Chris Cody.
Also, what's the opposite of a wet blanket? Because you're the guy that just likes to say things like, it's a great time down here right now. We have our party hat. It's like that. It's like, no, yes, we got a good player, but it's not that. It's not like everywhere you go in the grocery store. Oh, Messi. Like, oh, you're out to dinner. Oh, can you believe Messi's here? Like, it's not like that yet. Okay, you're lying.
Okay, you're also not going to stores and restaurants in downtown Miami where there's more of an Hispanic population, where people speak Spanish. Keep in mind, Messi's a global brand. He's as big in South America and in Europe as he is anywhere. And the United States, that's one of the weird things about Messi going to Inter Miami, is that the idea of Messi, the biggest star in soccer still, going to Inter Miami and Major League Soccer is crazy. It's crazy.
Not late in his career. It's not. David Beckham did it. Ibrahimovic did it.
Okay, like, those guys aren't Messi.
I'm not saying they're the best player, but late. It's not that crazy for a world class star late in his career to come to America.
Like, okay, Messi had a chance to stay in Europe. He had a chance to go to Saudi Arabia for about $1 billion a game. And instead, he's in coming to Major League Soccer. He's the biggest star by a lot that Major League Soccer has ever had and likely ever will have. I think you're underestimating the global superstardom of Lionel Messi.
I'm not saying in Little Havana, like, it wasn't like what I said, like, in their diners around there. I'm sure, like, a few weeks ago when the news broke, it was being talked about. I'm just saying, until it really gets going, you just said it's electric around here.
Yeah.
And like, until we're talking about it, I haven't heard Messi mentioned around town at all.
Okay. I'm talking about the anticipation. You know,
just like to say party hats. We're having a great time down here. We have our party hats on and we're happy.
Look, I talked to, you know, Guillermo, my housekeeper, is a huge Messi fan. That's all he talks about. Pablo, my favorite waiter from my Italian restaurant, he's the biggest Messi fan. That's all he talks about. There are people excited about Messi down here. I talk to them.
Right. Gigantic,
maybe you don't.
No, gigantic soccer fans are excited about it. I didn't say they aren't, but you just made it seem like this whole South Florida is a buzz because of Messi. And it's like, I don't know if soccer's there yet.
Okay. All right. I'll be reporting from his introduction on Sunday the 16th. And I will make a note of how many hundreds, not dozens, but hundreds of media have come to Miami internationally just to see him.
Oh, introduced. No, it will be huge. That's what I mean. Like, it will be electric. I mean, see, it's a semantics thing here. That opening day will be electric.
Right.
But right now, currently in my house, I'm looking around. It's just pretty lame in here right now. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. So Graceland's not real excited about Messi. Is that your gauge? Your 5-year-old isn't really like,
oh shit,
aching to have a Messi jersey yet?
My neighbor Marco is literally running around nude outside with a Messi flag.
There you go. That's all you need.
Damn it.
But, you know, here's the thing. We have myopia as American sports fans. We're jingoists. We think that if it's not huge in America, it's not huge. But we're reminded otherwise all the time. When Ichiro played for the Marlins, we saw all of the hundreds of Japanese fans at every game. When Formula One comes down here, all of a sudden we see 100,000 people, many of them who came from Europe for the race. And Messi is the same. Internationally, he is the biggest star going.
No, you know? I know.
In America, he's not yet, but internationally he is.
I was more making fun of South Florida and how outside of diehard soccer fans, I'm not sure how crazy news this is. That's more like, I know that right. You don't need to do the whole, I know he's the biggest star in the world. And
yeah,
like, yeah, I know. He's a Mount Rushmore of all time soccer players. So like, I get it. Everything you're saying is right. I'm just saying, I'm not sure if the whole like South Florida is a buzz yet until he's
the other lunacy at play here is that Messi's first game would sell out Hard Rock Stadium. 100%. It would sell 70,000 tickets. And instead, the Inter Miami plays in the suburb of Fort Lauderdale at a stadium called Drive Pink Stadium, which seats on a good day 17,000. That's like Taylor Swift playing in an Elks Lodge.
Okay, but
in this stadium.
But you're at it. Okay, well, hey, you just signed up to play for the team that plays at that stadium.
I know.
Like it's bull crap to make Inter Miami not like they like, hey, Inter Miami, you got Messi. You deserve to have him at your stadium where you get all of the income.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. So
but what I am saying is that because they have Messi, not only is their current stadium frightfully too small, the new stadium they're building is too small if Messi continues to play down here beyond one season.
But
it's nobody's fault.
What Drive Pink Stadium needs to improve is their security, because that's I imagine being an issue the first game. Because those big fences, they have like a chain link fence you'd see around like a high school. Like it's just a regular fence. Like people are going to be really wanting to be part of this game. Like you're going to have to beef up your security. You're going to need to get bigger fence, maybe with some barbed wire. Like you've seen soccer fans. Like soccer fans, to your point, can be crazy when it comes to Messi. So I just think with how expensive these tickets are going to be, I could see this being an issue. I'm sure that they're thinking of this. Like I can't be the only one thinking of this. I'm sure that if I went to Drive Pink Stadium right now, I'm sure it's already been beefed up a little bit.
I'm glad you brought that up because, and I know David Beckham's a big fan of our podcast and listens all the time. Dave, you have to have beefed up security because it's going to be, I'm worried just walking up there with a ticket. I'm worried about, you know, being accosted and I'm half serious. You know,
it's not just security though. Like they need to literally beef up like the establishment. Like it's just like, it looks like a high school, like soccer stadium almost.
Yeah. And they better have hundreds of Fort Lauderdale cops out there. I'm serious because security is going to be a real issue. People are going to be scaling walls to get into that stadium for free to see Messi. That's how just crazy it's going to be. Man, I'm out of breath just talking about it. I feel like I've talked nonstop for 15 minutes.
Well, you're so excited.
I am excited.
Yeah.
See, I'm a soccer fan in a way you're not.
Oh, shut up. I'm a soccer fan.
No. I'm a soccer fan in a way you're not.
You were a club goalie at FAU.
I was a club. I've played the sport. I have coached the sport.
You told me my whole childhood that you played at FAU, and I thought you were on the actual team. It turns out you were a backup on the club team.
I was a backup goalie.
And you only started one game, and you guys got your ass kicked.
It's true. At the Florida Institute of Technology in Jensen Beach, which is a lovely two-hour ride in a terribly small white van. I believe it was a Ford Econoline. But I covered the strike, as Ray Hudson will tell you, I covered the Fort Lauderdale Strikers back in the mid-late 70s. I mean, I've been a soccer fan before it was popular to be a soccer fan in America. Trust me. And so I think I am more excited and have a little bit more context for what Messi means to American soccer and to this league and to this market than you might, and no discredit to you.
But you're also one to just call everything. This is fantastic. We are really excited down here. What a time.
I say that when it's true. 5 years ago, I don't think I'd be saying that because everybody stunk. But
you look like Wayne Newton.
My hair does get a little puffy when I get out of the shower and blow dry it.
Why are you blow drying your hair?
I'm a blow dry man.
As somebody whose hairline is receding and is looking in the mirror saying, what are we going to do about this? What hairstyle do we need to like
move? I'm blowing it, baby.
You need to move to a different hairstyle. I think you need to go buzz cut like a one or a two around the whole head and just let your hairline be bad. You're going to see the top of your head a little bit more, but it's just going to be like short hair everywhere else. Wherever you grow hair, it's just going to be short.
Okay, my brother, the famous Uncle Dick.
He looks good.
Okay, he shaved his. I wouldn't call it a bald head, but it's very
and he
tightly
looks
shaved.
Good. I'm telling you, Daddy. Look, it okay. looks cleaner than you do right now.
Okay,
I think
well,
with your style and your outfits, with that look, like I think you could pull that off. I know it's scary.
I think I need a haircut. That's why you're saying it.
No,
it
but
doesn't look
your
good
normal
right
haircut
now.
Is just like this, like. You like still like you're styling it back like you have hair. You got it. It's time to pivot, my man. I'm telling you. I say this with love. I'm not judging you. I am dealing with the same mortality, and I'm a lot younger than you, so it's sadder right. for me. Like you're at a time. That's what I mean. Your age, like no one gives a shit. Everyone expects you to lose your hair at this point.
Okay,
like, just embrace a more stylish look. You're,
okay,
it looks like you're in the 70s with this like combed back, okay. blow dried hair.
Okay, here's. The point I want to make, and I never thought that our conversation about Lionel Messi would detour.
It needed
veer
a detour
crazily.
I was hearing all the South, all our non-South Florida people that are fans of the show. Like I was hearing them start to be like, "All right, guys, enough with this."
So yeah, maybe you did. Although everybody loves Messi, except people who don't.
They're super
like
excited.
You.
Everyone's
they
super
are
excited.
Super excited. Listen, fact,
Jack,
the hard truth. I have a bad skull.
No, you don't, Dad.
I
it's
have
not
a bad
that bad.
Skull.
It's not that bad. I'm telling you.
I would not be a guy who looked good bald.
You don't know that.
Well, nor will I ever find out.
I'm looking at your head right now. It's not that. I know we call you the point. I know that's a funny joke that I use often, but
right.
it's not that pointy. Your head, it looks like a normal head. I'm
okay.
looking at your head right now. It looks perfectly round.
All right. Put it on the poll. Does Greg have a bad haircut and needs to get a new style?
I mean, just like I might need to too. I want to be clear because everyone says I'm always just so mean to you.
Right.
This is not me like thinking I am dealing with the same issue. I'm constantly asking my wife, honey, do I need to go buzz cut here? Do I need to just come home? She says I still have enough up top to fake it. So until I literally once a month say to my wife, is it time? Like you need to tell me. I trust you. You're the one I care. Your opinion matters.
Right.
When you think my hair stinks, you tell me and we'll figure out what the next move is.
Okay. I have to admit, I have never had that conversation with your mother. Maybe I should.
You should.
Maybe she's too afraid to tell me that I look like I just stepped out of that 70s show.
Right.
I have no idea.
It's like you're going for the Pat Riley and you don't have like you don't got enough there to like really pull off the Pat
it's
Riley.
It's not slicked back like Pat Riley.
Or maybe you got to go just slick back on top and go buzz on the side. Like your hair's like long on the sides too. It's just.
Right. I do think it needs to be cut right now over my ears as we speak on a podcast where nobody can see what my hair looks like right now.
Well, it might be on social. This might be a social clip, but it's also like what you say to the haircut person. I just know is wrong because I think I know it. You're like, take a little off the ears and trim in the back, right? Is like what
correct.
You say.
That's all I say.
There's got to be some like a buzz on the side and then trim up top, maybe like more stylish, more tighter on the sides. No one likes puffy
right.
on the sides.
Yeah, no, you're right. Puffy on the sides does not work. All right, I'm gonna redouble my consideration.
No, you're not.
In drastically changing my lifelong hairstyle.
Yes,
I'm gonna consider that. No, I'm gonna see what my wife says, your mother, and if she's for it, I'm gonna consider doing it.
Why did you wanna have mom on the podcast this week? Like mom, like we did a whole episode on our cruise, recapping it, talking about it, and you're like, "What do you think
right.
about having your mother come on for 5 minutes to talk about the cruise? What was mom gonna say? What was mom gonna say on the cruise other than mocking how much money we lost in the casino?
Probably mocking how much money we spent overall, but nobody wants to hear that. No, I would be interested in her opinions and how honest she would get about.
She would just rip Uncle Dick the whole time.
No, they are at loggerheads sometimes, your mother and my brother.
Yeah.
They're you know, sometimes button heads, and Dick does things that drive her a little crazy and
look,
blah, blah,
you're
blah.
You're talking about a man who's been a forever bachelor, and sometimes he doesn't like, he's like a man. Like, look, I don't listen sometimes, you don't listen sometimes. Sometimes you say something to Uncle Dick, and then an hour later he asks the same question that he asked him an hour ago.
Or 10 minutes later.
It's
right.
just, but it's almost funny though, and mom seems to get a certain anger at it. That
I know.
Do they listen to this, either of them? Should we not be talking about this?
We probably shouldn't be.
Okay.
I know your mother listens, and Uncle Dick always says to me, "I haven't had a chance to listen to the podcast yet," and I always respond by saying, "You know, a podcast is something you can listen to anytime you want. Not picture, at a certain time.
I picture Uncle Dick listening to this podcast and yet not hearing this part of it.
Probably not.
He'll be like, I heard Messi talk, so I turned it off.
That would be like him. That absolutely would be like him. I remember back in the Big Three era where the whole market is thrilled and excited about
the Heat.
We were so
excited about the Heat.
Right, I was. And my brother, I talked to him, hey, Dick, the Heat, Big Three, LeBron James is here. And he's like, eh, I don't really follow the NBA.
That's honestly a good example. That was genuine. Like, that is a place you could not walk into a gas station, a store, a restaurant without somebody, some table talking about the Big Three.
Right.
That's an example of around this time when the season wasn't even happening, even though the soccer season is happening.
Right.
People were super excited about it. Like, that, yeah. Like, that's an example of me of when we were genuinely excited. Please, let's not get right back into this debate, though.
No,
let's,
we won't. Except to say that that's a difference in America between basketball and soccer, which is not as big as basketball yet.
Right.
I want to mention a couple of things, just post-vacation thoughts real quick. One thing I heard on the cruise ship several times, maybe a handful of times, overheard other people saying, and it started to drive me a little bit crazy. People on vacation complain way too much that someplace they've gone is, quote, too touristy. You know what?
That is a
You're
thing.
The tourist.
Yeah.
If it's too touristy, you're the problem.
Right.
Quit complaining that a place you chose to go as a tourist
right
is too touristy. I don't get that.
That is a great point by you. A tourist being in a location and looking around and saying, why are there so many tourists here?
Right.
Is really funny.
And the great Uncle Dick actually said that when we were on our first stop,
Sitka.
Not in Seattle, but our first stop in Sitka, Canada. He actually
Alaska.
Said that because there were so many.
You said Canada.
Okay. He actually said that of Sitka, Alaska, because there were so many gift shops. I'm like, you're a tourist. Buy a gift.
Well,
you know, what are you doing?
He's talking about the port, like the place at the port. Like, if you go away from that, like our tour was there, so that's where we had to meet up.
Right.
So, like, the one spot he saw was the tour. Yeah, of course, right when you get off the ship, they're going to have some shops. Like, that's
right.
Every cruise port ever.
I also want to...
That's a great point by you, though. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's a valid point.
Too touristy. It's like, you're the tourist.
Right.
You're
what
here.
What are you talking about? Right.
So you should leave. So
it's
leave.
It's crazy. It's one step from saying, don't you hate all the tourists around here?
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking in the mirror,
it's like
seeing
being
a tourist
at a baseball game and being like, why are all these baseball fans here?
Yeah, no, it's so illogical. And here's another thing that's
it's
illogical.
It's like you playing roulette. Hitting a number, betting a bunch of numbers, and then being like, who bets that number?
Well, I do say that.
God, there's nothing worse than a drunk Greg Cody having, of the 36 numbers, having 20 numbers covered, and then one of the numbers he doesn't have covered gets, the ball lands on it, and he goes, who bets 18?
Oh, I hate it. Yeah, 36. I mean, there's just 32.
You
there's
bet 33.
Oh,
anyone
I love
who
33.
Bets 33 can't be critical of other numbers.
No, I love 33. It's dear to my heart. I bet it all the time. Usually I put three chips on 33, looking for a big score. I always play 13. I always play 20. Yeah, we all have
$3
our numbers.
On a $3, big score. Get out of here.
Yeah, and in the meantime, I spend most of my time three deep waiting for, Mrs. McGillicuddy from Iowa to leave the table so I can sit down. She's nursing, she's playing minimum bets, nursing $30 of chips, worth of chips for an hour and a half because she's not betting as she's betting safe. She's betting the 50-50 bets. So she's wheezing. She's staying in the game. I can't have a seat. Here, dear, you got me started now. Hey, ship casinos, build more roulette tables. Lose half of the slot machines. Lose that arcade game where you use a claw to try to grab money. Lose that one poker table that's always empty and add roulette tables so I can get a gall darn seat without waiting an hour and a half.
You mean like the Texas Hold'em tables?
Yes.
Because like there was like a table of actual Texas Hold'em being played that was filled the whole time. You mean like the blackjack style poker?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Three card holder poker.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that closely, but there's certain poker... blackjack type tables that are not being used.
Right.
And the three roulette tables, correct me if I'm wrong, The three roulette tables, including that one guy we always saw there playing number 29 with the LA Dodgers cap, the three roulette tables are always packed.
Yes.
As much as the craps table, but there's only one craps table. There's three roulette tables.
Right. Well, it's like the common folk likes to play roulette. Like, it's just like a fun, easy game. So I'm with you. They need more. Yeah, that. I mean, it's tough for that for a cruise, right? Because you want to have all the options for people. And right. Some cruises, roulette's a little probably more popular. On some, it's probably perfect. You know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
it's hard. Maybe, like, they probably could do something where they have an extra roulette table back there. And if they see the first night that the roulette table is mobbed, then they do a little rearranging in the closed hours. Mm. And all of a sudden, there's another roulette table. Like,
okay.
I feel like they could do something like that if,
right,
if they see that one game is, like, insanely busy.
Yeah. Yeah, because we, you and I together spent a lot, and you know, it's a all you can drink package, so I'm not complaining. I'm just having another cocktail. But we spent way a lot of time waiting to sit down at a roulette table.
But that's part of the journey of it for me. Like, to your point, you got a drink in your hand, you're waiting for your spot.
Right,
like, you huff and puff. I actually made fun of you on the Lebatard show last week, like I mentioned, like, as Dan was kind of like teasing your appearance next week,
right.
It was just like, I can't wait to hear stories from the cruise. And I gave you credit that other than the first night, you kept it together with the drink package. But I did make fun of how you were huffing and puffing all the time about squatters.
Yes.
How when you're wrong. When you're on the table, you can stay there for an hour and a half straight without moving. But when other people do it, you're just hemming and hawing.
That's correct. Because I'm not placing minimum bets. I'm actually betting 15, 20 bucks a hand.
Yeah, most people are. So are most people. Like, what
not the squatters. The squatters are putting down five chips.
No, Dad, on red or black. Off. Dad, I as somebody who bet on like the bigger side of things,
right?
You're like bottom lower. Like, you're not the bottom person, but you're not spending like a big amount there. Like,
hey, that kind of thing.
There are way more people spending big money that are playing $5 chips all around the table. Like those, like, you know what I mean? Like, your little $14 worth of singles chips is not like, you know.
I play more than 14. I probably play 18, 20 bucks a spin.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's fine. That's good enough.
I was playing like 25 bucks on 14.
Well, you're Mr. $5 chip. Excuse me. You know, I'm down here.
Dad, we're risking the same amount of money. I just am like going for it. So like I bust quicker than you do. Hell yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my money goes quicker, but we're not like, it's not like I'm spending thousands of dollars.
Right. I want to say one other thing in the rant category, and we alluded to it very briefly in last week's episode. Okay, karaoke is big on cruise ships, and Frank Sinatra's My Way, the song everybody knows, is an intensely popular selection. Somebody's always singing it.
It's overrated as a karaoke song.
All right, listen here. And I'm speaking to the karaoke world at large. If you're under the age of 40, you should never, ever sing that song, let alone out in public. Read the room. Better yet, read the lyrics. I don't want to hear a 25-year-old kid cruising on dad's dime, crooning regrets. I've had a few, because you haven't had a few regrets. You're not old enough to have had regrets.
We don't want
up already.
We don't want
somebody my age should be singing My Way.
No, but we don't want the old guy singing it either. Honestly,
no, yeah, we do.
No, like, I don't want anyone.
It comes from experience.
I don't want anyone singing My Way.
But regrets, I've had a few. And when you hear me sing it, you know what? That looks like a guy who has had a few regrets. I'll tell you that. But too few to mention. Then again, anyway. I'm out of breath again.
Let's go to break.
Okay.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles. Dad, it's mattress week. We've been talking to you for weeks now about their new mattress, brand new. I sleep on one every night, guys. I'm telling you, this heat-resistant natural latex, there's no foam, okay? When we talk about heat, we talk about that warm feeling in a bed sometimes. You know, you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you come back, your bed's all still warm, it's weird. That's the foam. Foam is what makes it hot. There's no foam in these Sheets and Giggles mattresses. They're wrapped in breathable, cool-to-touch eucalyptus lyocell fabric.
Hello.
It's just a beautiful mattress. You could sleep on it with no sheets, honestly. It's that comfortable. But you want to put some Sheets and Giggles sheets on it. Buy it for you. You can get up to $400 off your mattress with the code CRUISE. We're changing the code. No more nice hat. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code CRUISE. CRUISE. You got to go do this, guys. Right now, change your life. Make your wife happy. I know you listen to all these podcasts. Maybe right now you're in your car with a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife that doesn't really care about this show, but they're listening to this ad. Hey, you want to sleep better? Tell your spouse or your person to go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code CRUISE for 20% off the entire site or up to $400 off a new mattress. Please go do it because it's insanely comfortable.
Yeah, I can't add to that except to say that their mattress is so good that it's spelled M-A-T-T-R-E-S-T. Matt Rest, because it's so good.
What?
I'm going to suggest to Sheets and Giggles that they start making bedding for horses, because my racehorse Calmly is penciled in the August 6th.
Hold on. Wait.
Yeah.
I don't know what you just said there. By the way, my morning man status has even increased with this Sheets and Giggles mattress, because my wife wakes up and she's so cool, ready to get hot.
Is she? Okay.
I mean, come on. We're a couple morning men over here.
Well, we are. And that reminds me, on next week's podcast, we have a global, worldwide, exclusive premiere of a song that may have something to do with that.
Oh, man. A morning
baby.
Man. Okay. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
You tell me Yeti's been in the lab?
I think he's been in the lab. I think there's something in the vein of morning man.
In the sex lab.
Damn right he has. Baby. Baby. Next week, exclusively on the Greg Cody Show podcast.
I can't tell you anything in my life I want less right now than a Calmly update.
Well, listen, the reason I asked if Sheets and Giggles can start making bedding for horses is that Calmly needs all the rest she can get. My 3-year-old filly. Who won a big race in May, and now she's penciled in the August 6th German Oaks in Dusseldorf, which is another big European race. We run her on soft turf, so we're looking for some rain.
Why do you say stop saying August 6th? Like, I know you're a part owner, but it's just annoying, like, this, like, arrogance you talk with now.
No,
because horse racing, and this horse. Just like, right. we run her on a, like, just say she runs on. Okay. Like, you don't need to say we.
We run her. Hang on just a second.
Where'd you go?
No, I went to get something, because I want to tell you, as an owner of Calmly, this is the kind of perk you get. Team Valor International, my syndicate, just sent me this beautiful plaque of Calmly, because she won that big race. And This is Calmly right here.
Folks, for a mere $80 a month, you can get a Bed Bath & Beyond quality picture frame with just a printout on it.
Right. Actually, I bought the frame myself for $5.99.
Oh, okay.
From Bed Bath. But they did send me the piece of paper that I framed to make it look better.
There it is. So they don't even send you the frame. Wow, that's even sadder.
Right. But they do send it. You know, it's a thought that counts. I'm a proud owner. But anyway, August 6th, mark that down. We may have a road trip to Dusseldorf to see her run live.
For how many listeners we have, it's hilarious to me, the visual of how few people are actually marking that down.
August 6th, Dusseldorf, Germany.
When I tell you there's probably three people of our countless tens of thousands of people that listen to this podcast, three of them have just marked down somewhere that calmly runs on August 6th.
Okay, mark this down because it's in the works. It's not official yet. We're gonna have a podcast fan event in Dusseldorf, Germany on August 6th. We're all going to be meeting at 8 a.m. local time at Schnitzy's Beer Garden, which is on the corner of...
Shut up.
Okay, well, you know what? I should shut up because it's not official yet.
Do you think the name Mark or the word Mark was first a name and then a word, like where you mark something down? Or was it the word Mark, marking something down, and then it became a name?
I think it's been a name a long time. Like
it's also probably been a word a long time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Look that, research that, and report to me on the genesis of the word Mark, the word Mark versus the name Mark. And don't get me started on MARC. Come on, MARCs. You know, you got to go with a K there. We can't have a bunch of Marks with C's running around. It's just not right. If any of you listening are Marks with C's, I apologize, but I feel pretty strongly about this. Like Greg with two G's, you know, this, like John without the H. I mean, there should be uniformity in given names, and there shouldn't be a lot of different misspellings. Alice with a Y, I just cannot have it. It can't happen. It can't work like that in nameology. And I know that's a controversial opinion of mine, but you know, you're not. You could be Kris. Are you? Yeah. No.
Yeah, but with Gracelyn, most people spell it with a Y, and we spell it with an I.
Well, the I is the way to go there.
And you're just saying that because, like, but it is. It's against what you're ranting. Like the typical, you like the traditional spellings of names,
right?
And I know Gracelyn is kind of a new, recent hybrid name.
Yes, it's a new name, newish.
But the more common is with the Y. Like, we zagged.
Okay, I think, well, her name is one word, though. It's not Gracelyn.
Right.
In which case, it would be L-Y. It's Gracelyn. So I validate.
I love everything my family does.
I substantiate the spelling of my granddaughter's name. I do.
Wow, thank you.
You know what else I substantiate? Dad jokes.
Here we go.
That's what I substantiate. And let's get right at them because they're coming at you like rat-a-tat-tat. Actually, there's three of them, so it's rat-a-tat. Why couldn't anyone call the zoo?
I don't know.
The phone lions were all busy.
That's terrible.
What do you call an elephant's handwriting?
Trung.
Dead air.
Shrum. I don't know.
Elephant.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
This is bad.
No, elephant is good.
No, these are bad.
What do you call it when a cow and a chicken are angry at each other?
I don't know.
Roost beef. It just occurred to me that was an all animal dad joke special.
It's because when you're animals. That's because when you're scrolling on your stupid little long list of 500 dad jokes, you got to the animal portion and you picked three of them.
That's wrong. These are hand curated. Speaking of hand curated, it's time for Three Facts Jack.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for Three Facts Jack.
Cue the sound.
I did.
Okay. Number three, the original Marlboro man in the TV commercials, a real-life Colorado rancher named Bob Norris, never in his life actually smoked cigarettes. He pitched the cigarettes for 12 years until guilt overtook him when one day his 12-year-old son asked why he was promoting a product he was forbidden to try.
I wasn't listening there because I stood up to try to fart into the microphone while you were doing that, but it was a silent fart.
Okay, that's fine. I reported exclusively that the original Marlboro man on TV was a fraud. Number two, the subject of perhaps the most famous painting in the world, Da Vinci's Mona Lisa, was an actual person, though the artist denied that for decades. Mona in Italian is short for Madonna, and Lisa was Lisa del Giocondo, the wife of a Florentine merchant. The painting's original title was, in fact, a certain Florentine lady.
The original is like very underwhelming, right? It's like small, right?
It's incredibly small. Your mother and I saw it in the Louvre in Paris a few years ago.
Yeah, it's 30 by 21.
Yeah, and it
inches,
draws the
inches.
Yeah, and you can't even get close to it. So there's and it draws the biggest crowds. So it's like a roulette table on a cruise ship. People are like 12 deep trying to, from a distance, get a good view of this tiny little...
they don't do like a walk. Like they should have it like roped where it's like you walk and you like never stop, kind of. Like
yes,
just,
they
like,
should. That would make a lot of sense. I'm going to write to the Louvre and tell them they should do that. And Three Facts Jack now comes to number one. I loved this. Charles G. Dawes, U.S. Vice President under Calvin Coolidge in the 1920s, to this day remains the only president or vice president to have written a hit song. He was a pianist and flautist who wrote an instrumental he named Melody in A Major. In 1951, the year after he died, a songwriter named Carl Sigman added lyrics and renamed the song It's All in the Game, which 7 years later hit number one with a doo-wop version by Tommy Edwards, who became the first black artist to reach the top of the Billboard 100. And most of you may or may not know that song. I know it well. Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. Thank you, Vice President Charles Dawes.
We got to really ask people. We got to ask people how they feel about these, I think, these benchmarks that we do every week.
Okay.
Because you love them.
I love them.
You love the crutch that they provide, but I'm not sure that they're great. Well, so I could be wrong, though. Like, I know I'm an asshole sometimes. Right. And, like, you're my dad, so things that you do sometimes with me don't sit well, where I'm sure maybe people were like, oh, I'm so glad that I learned about the Marlboro Man and this Mona Lisa picture.
Right. And Charles Dawes, a U.S. vice president from the 1920s, writing a number one hit song.
We'll do that thing. I like Yeti doing the thing where he like puts out the polls and things that we talk about, where he like, after an episode's released, he'll go on Twitter or Threads maybe now and, you know, put the polls out. We got to put a poll. Do you like Three Facts Jack? And then do you like dad jokes?
Yeah.
I just would be curious. I bet it's pretty split. I bet some people do, but I bet that there's some people that don't.
Well, what I would consider doing is making it one dad joke a week instead of three.
Wow. You'd consider that, huh?
I do not only love Three Facts Jack, but I also want to triumphantly bring back Mount Gregmore more often than I do.
Why don't we do 10 Facts Jack?
Nah, Three Facts Jack is perfect. Three has always been a round number for me. Other people are enamored of five. I'm enamored of three.
What are your top five favorite numbers?
Two and four are awful.
What are your top three five is great. Favorite numbers?
Well, three is probably number one.
No, okay. Go five. What's number five?
Oh, wow. Top five. Okay. Number five is 33.
So now we're just doing roulette numbers. Okay. Number four.
No. Number four is nine.
And you make fun of other people's numbers.
Number three.
And 33 and nine.
Number three is 14.
Wow. That's now you're just because it's my roulette number. It's one of your favorite numbers.
No. Number 14 was Greg Cody's first uniform number in Little League Baseball.
That's why I like it.
For Adler's Drugs in Hollywood, Florida. Cody Slam Paces Drugs. Number two is number three.
Why number three?
Yeah. And number one is number 10.
Why number 10? Because Messi, and we're so excited about that.
That's right. Exactly. Now, 10 was two until last week, but it vaulted to one because of Lionel Messi.
10 was two?
Yeah.
It was number two?
I think. Or who did I have?
Or number
have
two was 10? Is number two 10?
Who did I? What did I have? Was 14 four? Who's on first?
14's three. Okay. 33 was
five. And 14 was four was nine because nine was my
nine
mother's.
Was four.
Well, four was nine, I thought.
Nine, it was four.
Okay, nine was four because nine was my mother's birthday, April 9th.
And it's not anymore.
Well, it will always be her birthday, but she's not getting any older. Let's put it that way.
What is she getting?
She's mellowing in the memory. She's growing in the mind as the best mom ever, other than your own mother.
Who won?
Who won?
And my wife.
Of course. Right. Yes. Right. We got to. Yeah, you're right. We gotta, yeah. And then you're.
Who is the best mom of all time? You answer this. Go ahead.
My wife. Followed by your wife.
Wow. You're just saying that because your mom's dead.
Followed by my late great mother.
If your mom was still here, you'd have Christy third. Admit it.
It could be. Does Christy listen to the podcast?
No.
Okay, then I'd have her third. Yeah. Because my mother was a great mother. Fantastic.
Yeah.
She really was.
No one could worry.
Stay-at-home mother who
never drove.
That's true. You know what one of my earliest memories of my mother is? And I'm being serious here. One of my earliest memories of my mother was we were sent home early from elementary school because John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. And my mother was weeping in the living room watching TV when I got home.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that. That would have been 1963. So I would have been, I had just turned nine. And my mother, who would have probably been in her 40s then, I'll never forget
She
her
was
reaction.
Emotional. She always was like an emotional person.
Oh, very much so. Yeah.
Kind of like her son, Greg.
I'm emotional.
Like I imagine Uncle Dick hasn't cried. I mean, maybe he cried like when Nan and Pop passed away, but Uncle Dick is not as emotional as you, correct?
Oh, I totally agree. And he's not particularly stoic, but I'm much more emotional than people know. And let me give you an example from the cruise. And I never mentioned this when it happened, but you know, when we went on that whale watching thing, and there was the one time I didn't get a great photo of it, but it happened and I saw it. There was the one time that a humpback whale actually did a good breach for us. You remember?
Yeah.
Where the whale was like literally most of its body was out of the water.
It was the baby, right? Doing it. It was a smaller whale.
But it was still pretty big. And I got emotional watching that. Like instantly, I didn't tear up, but I felt the emotion welling in my eyes when I saw that.
I can't even
explain why.
There were many times on that trip in those moments when it was emotional for me, just because of how gorgeous the view was. It was just kind of one of those moments of like, this is it. This is why we came here. This is awesome. Like, I want this to not be over. You know what I mean? Like, and I was with Gracelyn when the big whale came at it. Like, we probably, Gracelyn and I, were 10 feet the closest on the boat to like the closest thing where it was like, I don't know if you guys even saw it because our seats were in the inside in the front left, but this was like back right. And it was like a big whale coming up with his big mouth open, like 10 feet from the boat. Like it was the coolest. It was the one where the ladies, like, if anyone got a video of that, please send it to me. We like to share all of our, and Gracelyn and I were right there for it. And that moment after that, because like the people next to us were super excited and everyone was like, oh my God, that's why we like, and Gracelyn was like, oh my God. And like, it was like, it was definitely a little bit emotional of just like, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah. I think wildlife brings that out in a lot of people, including me, seeing those deer, four full grown deer in downtown Victoria, British Columbia. Near the waterfront, a tourist area, a lot of traffic.
What were all those tourists doing there, by the way?
Yeah, it's very touristy, Victoria, I thought. But and the deers say so too. You know, when they're talking amongst themselves,
they can say that.
They can, unless some of the deers may have been tourists.
It'd be like if the deers were like, "What are all these deer doing around here?"
Right. It used to be just a two-deer town. Now they're everywhere.
Oh, dear.
But imagine you're in the middle of a big city, a crowded big city, and there's four full-grown deer just sauntering, not the least in a hurry, just walking right through a parking lot.
And we're not talking about Giannis.
No, we're not talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're talking about actual deer. And two of them had antlers, the beautiful velvet antlers, you know, the antlers covered with the beautiful velvet. It was really gorgeous. And that made me a little emotional seeing deer, mainly because they were totally unexpected. I would have been less surprised to see a bear walking in Victoria than to see four deers.
I'm glad we saw a deer instead of a bear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't see a bear. I had an eagle eye out for bears when we were on that gondola. I was looking down for bears. I never saw a single bear on this trip.
Still have nightmares about that gondola.
Oh, yeah. It was a little scary. It was a little higher than I thought it would be. And had the gondola fallen, our fall would not have been buffeted by a forest of trees. We would have fallen right on a hard pathway and had very, very little chance of survival. So,
on that note,
thank God the gondola did not crash. We're happy to be back on dry land. Happy to be back with you.
Thank God. Hey, how about airplane brakes? Can we put it up for airline brakes?
Okay.
It's always terrifying when you land on an airplane and it's just like, all right, I hope these brakes work.
Yeah, that's a fact.
it's a fact because the runway would never be long enough. It's always a weird feeling of, all right, we've landed, we're good. But then there's like that 30 seconds of like, we're going 500 miles an hour on this runway right now.
Right.
Like, we really need to slow down or else this isn't going to end well.
But the brakes all work, man. I wonder if the pilot is actually like jamming his foot down on a brake.
Like, is it really aggressive, like, or is it just like they push a button and it brakes?
It's probably the button.
There needs to be like a big thing of hay, like a big hay, like maybe like a big cushioned area where like all the planes can just end at if the brakes give out.
I like it. They should have that. Like a rubber bumper that moves a little bit or something.
Although I like a sack of hay better.
A
huge netting that like has some leeway so it like enters the netting and then the netting stops it.
Yes, correct.
Anyway.
Or another thing would be a parachute on the back.
Yeah.
Like the funny cars, the race cars have.
Yeah.
You know, that's something else that I would enjoy, and we're going to have that done. We're going to have jet airliner parachutes in the Greg Cody Show merch store by next week with the logo on the back, so look for that. Hey, Pod family, love that you're with us every week. Thank you very much. Really appreciate your support, and we'll see you next week when we debut the brand new but partially unnamed, because it's still a surprise, song by Yeti. Join us then. That kind of thing.
I thought we were doing
but it's
that
all
kind of, what
in the game.
I'm talking about that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.